It's been a while since we've done an update on the pandemic. So for that and a discussion about what it's like to be on the front lines during all of this, I'm joined right now by Dr. Murtaza Akhtar, a clinical assistant professor of emergency medicine and an emergency room physician at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. He also has worked out of an ER in Miami and South Florida as well. Dr. Akhtar, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to come on and talk to us and tell us a little bit about what you've experienced as an ER doctor working on the front lines during the course of this pandemic.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Ryan. It's been, honestly, at this point, it's become like a deja vu of horrors. When I was in Arizona and the pandemic hit there, it totally took me off guard. I'd heard about the stories in New York, even Boston and the West Coast, but for some reason, I figured it wouldn't be quite as bad. And as you know, last summer, we got slammed. And then there were massive delays for every single patient with really sick patients coming in. And when that surge started coming down a little bit, there was hope that, you know, maybe we'd be able to find a way of beating it. We should have already beaten it by then, but we hadn't. And unfortunately, we've just seen multiple waves since then. And what's worse is now we have a vaccine that's basically a miracle cure. Nobody expected it to be this good. And yet, just a couple weeks ago, at this point here in Miami when I was working, we had that huge Delta surge, which was even worse than the surge we had in Arizona last summer. And it's just amazing that at this point, it's just become a cycle that every few months I feel I got to deal with this crush of patients that come to the ER, which, remember, backs up care for everyone. It's not like heart attacks magically right. went away or cancer magically cured itself. All those patients are still coming in, and believe it or not, their care gets massively delayed because everybody else is blocking the ER. And it's really unfortunate because we have the cure, we have the vaccine, and yet people aren't getting it.
You know, as you're watching all of this unfold in these different emergency rooms, how quickly does it all happen? And I'm talking about those who need extended time in the hospital and potentially even die from COVID-19. How fast does it progress? And does the speed of this virus, how quickly it can escalate, does that take some of these patients by surprise?
Well, yeah, actually, one of the interesting things is that the patients get their worst about 10 days to 2 weeks in. Of course, everybody varies, but there are people who like test positive after mild symptoms and they think they're okay. Almost every patient I see who comes in hypoxic, low on oxygen and needing to be admitted for respiratory support, almost every patient I see like that comes in at least a week in, if not 10 days or even longer. And so they think that maybe they'll be okay. They've got mild symptoms. Maybe they develop a cough. And then a week or a week and a half in, they come in struggling to breathe. And so I think all of them are pretty surprised that it got to that state. And it's pretty amazing because we've been giving the message for many, many months now about how bad things could get. And unfortunately, a lot of them just don't pay attention until it hits them personally.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined right now by Dr. Murtaza Akhtar, a clinical assistant professor of emergency medicine and an emergency room physician at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. Those who you've treated who have come into the ER recently and are unvaccinated, what have they told you about their reasoning for not getting vaccinated?
They run the gamut. It's almost frustrating to talk about. Some of them are honestly, the conspiracy theorists, it's just weird because conspiracy theories used to be dedicated to a small segment of the population. But now there's so many people who feel like the government is playing a role in terms of forcing it on people, or that Bill Gates is putting microchips in there, or people are being magnetized. Utterly ludicrous thoughts. Unfortunately, it's not a small minority. There's a decent amount of people who for some reason believe this. It's very hard to reason with them. Now, there are some people who are, they'll say flat out, they're not anti-vax. They've gotten their other vaccines. It's just this one that they're hesitant about. And those people, at least there's some level of conversation that can be had about how many trials have been done, how many patients have been observed and studied, how any side effects that happen from the vaccine are almost never attributed to the vaccine itself, that you have to really do randomized trials to know. And you can have that conversation and convince them. And usually those are the younger people who feel like it's not as bad for them. Why take an experimental new vaccine when they're young and healthy? But honestly, young and healthy people are the ones I've been admitting more recently, especially with the Delta surge. The elderly have done a great job of getting vaccinated. It's actually middle-aged and even younger people who haven't been getting vaccinated as much So those are the ones I have to explain. Listen, you're the type of person I'm admitting. And I try to explain to them that this is no longer an experimental vaccine. The experiment's been done. The data are out. And so those are the types of people I've seen, but it really runs the gamut.
Let me ask you about the difference in patients you've dealt with who are vaccinated compared to those who are unvaccinated. What can you tell us about that?
Well, one of it is just the sheer numbers. Obviously, the people I see by and large who need to be sick enough to be hospitalized are the unvaccinated. Now, it used to be that was exclusively what I was seeing. There are some breakthroughs that I had to admit, I'll be honest, but it's far, far, far less than the unvaccinated. For anybody who says, listen, vaccine doesn't make me 100% immune from hospitalization, you're right, but very few things in life are 100%. And if your metric is 100% before you do anything, you'll go nowhere in life for any sort of accomplishment whatsoever. The vaccine is extremely effective. Almost everyone I see who have to hospitalize is unvaccinated. And I'll be honest, we're humans too. You know, doctors, respiratory therapists, nurses. When we see somebody who actively and adamantly refuses the vaccine and then comes to those very people who are recommending the vaccine asking for help, we find it ironic to say the least. And so again, maybe this isn't politically correct to say, but there's a little bit more compassion for the people who come in vaccinated than there are for the ones who are completely rejecting all of our advice and then come to us asking for these novel treatments that are not nearly as effective, not nearly as effective as the vaccine is. So those are the main differences. But the biggest one is how much different in volume we see for the patients who are unvaccinated compared to vaccinated.
I'm joined right now for an update on the pandemic by Dr. Murtaza Akhtar, a clinical assistant professor of emergency medicine and an emergency room physician at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. Let's talk about booster shots for a moment, because I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about this. Which vaccines have booster shots available and approved? Who is eligible to get those booster shots? Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, boosters is a great question. That one is a little bit more complex and nuanced. As you know, the recommendation right now is suggested for people above 65, those who are at risk of severe disease, and those who are at risk of contracting it because of being on the front line. So, for example, healthcare workers or in some cases teachers, as opposed to for everyone. It's tough because we know that agencies have been saying if you've gotten the full vaccination series, you probably don't need the booster at this time, with the exception of those three things I mentioned. But we also know, looking especially at Israeli data, that the amount of hospitalizations can massively decrease in the population if you give boosters, in particular to the right people. So the short of it is, there isn't a clear-cut answer whether you should get a booster right now. As Dr. Fauci has mentioned, and many others have mentioned, clearly boosters reduce hospitalization because it reduces the amount of people who get sick enough to need hospitalization, because as we know, the immune response wanes. But as to whether you personally need it right now depends on multiple factors, including when you got your full vaccination series, as well as how high risk you are. And so this really is I know it sounds like a cop-out to say, a conversation to have with your doctor. There are some things that are very clear. For example, getting vaccinated, very clear. But there are other things that really do require a conversation with your doctor. And one of them is whether a booster is something that's worthwhile. It's a person-to-person judgment, both based on the patient and his or her physician.
Final question for you. As someone who's been on the front lines in emergency rooms across the country for the entirety of this pandemic, what has it been like for you personally and for other healthcare professionals who you've worked with?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason there are massive nursing shortages in both the Valley of the Sun as well as in South Florida. And basically, people get fed up. There's only so much of a surge and a volume that they can handle, especially because it's not like compensation necessarily is matching that demand. Not that that's why people necessarily go into it, but you're being asked to do a lot more without much support. Obviously, people burn out. And again, like I said, there's a reason there are nursing shortages throughout. Ironically, there are other people who can't find jobs. So it's really not just screwed up how effectively we can give patient care, but even the market forces alongside it. And I'll be honest, you know, I've got the good fortune of having the ability to work with multiple residents in the places I work in, and they're the ones who keep me energized. If it weren't for them, I'll be honest, I would have quit. And maybe, again, that's not politically correct to say, but a reward for my ability to work with students and residents and see them growing into the next generation of physicians and leaders. If it were just me and the patient care, what with this pandemic, I would have quit.
Well, we're certainly glad you're still there on the front lines. Dr. Murtaza Akhtar, Clinical Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and an Emergency Room Physician at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. Dr. Akhtar, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your experiences and your expertise.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. You stay safe.